Okay, well, so my sermon is part my faith story and part sermon. So I grew up Methodist in a mostly non-religious family. Now, this may sound kind of odd because we did say grace before each meal, unless it was pancakes or cottage cheese, at which point my father would refuse to offer any thanks of any kind. And we went to church regularly, except for my dad, unless one of us kids was going to perform a solo, duet, trio, etc. And then he would join us, but really only if it was on Christmas or Easter. My parents financially supported our church greatly, and they sent us to Sunday school and vacation Bible school at our church and basically at every other church in my small town. And we only missed the Lutheran Lutefisk supper, because my parents wouldn't eat that. But we went to all the other church dinners and suppers as a way to support our community, because this was the way my parents approached living, is that you supported your community. I went to lots of other churches with my friends as well, often jumping in to help sing with a choir that was in that service. However, my parents never spoke about their faith with me, and never spoke about any of their expectations of my faith with me. My mom left our church when I was in junior high due to some very painful small town old versus new crowd politics. But my sister and I kept going to our church when my parents were absolutely fine with that. We had a lot of independence when it came to that. My sister and I were very active in confirmation, youth group, church choir, and provided music for services whenever they needed us. Our pastor was an amazing man. I remember him teaching meditative prayer when I was in seventh grade. And I really felt and understood the peace and presence of God in my life every day as a 12-year-old seventh grader, which is astounding to me. Now, this was a time in culture in this country, I believe, that televangelism was on the rise. And I heard then, and frankly, I think I still hear now, a lot of distortion of religious rules and laws from all sorts of religions, but particularly from denominations within Christianity, to fit certain movements' desires and push their agendas. And as a teenager, here I am learning about Christ's ideas of loving God with all my heart and loving my neighbor as myself from my great pastor, and looking at those Ten Commandments as a solid foundation of rules and enough of a challenge, frankly, to work on perfecting every day. How could all of these different denominations and all the pastors within these different denominations be picking conflicting scriptures from all over the Bible to fight over when the Bible is a hard enough piece of literature to understand to begin with? All of the confusion led me to relate much more to God than to Christ or the Holy Spirit when it comes to the Trinity, because all of these televangelists were using Christ and the Holy Spirit much more than they talked about God. And I just couldn't understand some of the things that they were saying and some of the ways they were quoting things. Perhaps this seems odd or wrong to some of you, but I talk to God and I listen to God, or I listen for God. I believe in the Trinity, but God is where my soul has always connected the most. So now, I'd like to get in a little bit as to where today's reading from Mark comes into my faith story. It was rules like the ones in Deuteronomy and Exodus where no one, the owners, the servants, the slaves, even the beasts, are allowed to work or reap harvest on the Sabbath because God himself rested on the seventh day after creating the entire world. And so the church leaders wanted everyone to follow that rule. So in comes Christ in Mark's story, and he ignores the rules. He chooses to feed people who are hungry and cure people who are ill rather than allowing them to suffer for one more day or possibly die that day in the name of a rule that had been made at that time thousands of years before and, as Jesus points out, had been broken by King David, for Pete's sakes. Why are you yelling at me about it? I'm ad-libbing that. I don't know if I said that, you know. And as many of you will know, I then look at the New Testament. And Paul and I don't get along. Anybody who's done wading the word with me here knows that I don't get along with Apostle Paul. Because some of his rules that he brings up in his letters I find very frustrating. His rules about women keeping silent in the church, his rules about sexuality, his rules about celibacy being superior to marriage, They frustrate me. My sophomore college religion professor will tell you that. I wrote impassioned papers about this during my Apostle Paul class. And I think right now, almost 2,000 years after those letters were written, we are seeing followers of Christ, children of God, pushing back at those rituals and rules that aren't bringing vibrant spiritual health into our lives and our congregations. Because often when I get into debate with someone who feels that every law and every ritual within the Bible must be followed, and I bring up something about, well, what about the amounts of grains and lambs that must be burned, or the stoning of children at the gates of the city when they've dishonored their parents, or any other of the many, many laws that are in the Bible, the response often is, oh, well, that's just the Old Testament. That's not important anymore. It's just the New Testament that we have to follow. And many of those rituals are hard for me to understand as a woman in the 21st century. I'm someone who believes in God with all my heart, my soul, and my mind. I believe in science is something that humans discover more and more and more because God gave us the brain power to do so. I have a job that causes me to work on the Sabbath all the time, delivering babies historically, taking care of mildly to deathly ill patients, and being with a person as he or she approaches death, being with their families and answering their questions and bringing them comfort as their loved one approaches death. And since the concept of Sabbath is a time for reminding us of the divine deliverance at the heart of our lives and providing us with a foretaste of the promised land, I can assure you all that when I practice medicine, be it birthing, healing, or giving hospice care to the dying, my mind and my soul are very, very close to God every time. So, why does Sabbath have to be a set date and set time for everyone? I love coming to this church for the community of it. I love the part of the Sabbath of that. But I understand when someone can't be here due to work, sickness, or family commitments. That would not have been understood during Mark's time of writing this gospel. It wasn't understood. And when someone can't make it to church, God is still with that person, ready to help lift up and cultivate love and goodness of God wherever that can be had, in my opinion. When I've studied scripture, I've learned a great deal that the Bible has been altered over time, especially these last 2,000 years. Paul's letters are not completely done by Paul. Some authors slipped in a few lines for political, power-hungry, or cause-related reasons. And so I have to read the Bible with an understanding that it isn't infallible, but that it has lessons that can be so important to me and to the vibrant health of a beloved community of faith, so that River of Hope, Hutchinson, McLeod County, Minnesota, United States, North America, the world, can be a better place because of those lessons. And so as science and the understanding of the natural world grows more in depth and knowledgeable, and we learn more and more about things that used to be thought about as magic or demons or curses, I hope that our faith and all the other religions on this planet can find a way to grow it and evolve in the way that God meant us to. Loving God with all our hearts, our souls, and minds, and loving our neighbors as ourselves. That would be truly, truly an amazing celebratory Sabbath for us all. And I think that River of Hope is following Christ's examples as laid out in today's gospel. Look at what we as a community of followers have been doing. Root beer floats at so many locations and events, given free without any evangelizing. Laundry love that have touched people's hearts and all the prayers we bring back from that. And we continue to pray for those people, not just the day we do laundry love, but for weeks afterwards. Summer park evenings to bring a sense of community and kindness to people who maybe don't have that in their day-to-day life. Singing hymns and spiritual songs in a local bar for almost 4 years now, which is such a great time. And being asked to go to other towns to share that music and spirit. Frankly, bringing an ELCA church back to our community when a scriptural law was indeed ignored, as Christ did in his time. Now, I became a Lutheran after my years of Methodism due to 4 years at St. Olaf and experiencing liturgy for the first time, wow. And weekly communion, you mean you do get to have communion more than once a year? That's a new thing for a Methodist girl to understand. And in the amazing Bow Chapel in St. Olaf, it was stunning. And I worked at Nisadak Lutheran Bible Camp for 2 summers. Hilarious, a Methodist doing that, teaching the Lutheran youth about God in the Lutheran way. I learned a lot of good stuff that way. That was a really good way to do it. I had some very dark and lonely times in college when I stopped actually being able to hear God. So that amazing way I learned to do that via my pastor in confirmation, I lost it in college. It was very, I couldn't find peace anymore. I was terrified. I was lonely. I knew it wasn't God's issue. It was mine, and I didn't know how to fix it. I went on praying. I went on going to church, usually alone. I went on taking communion and praying some more. And eventually I found my way back from what I realize now was my first significant issue with generalized anxiety disorder. And here I am now, faced with health issues that are frustrating and concerning, and which forced me to look ahead in ways I didn't think was going to happen for another 20 years. And I'm having to ask for and accept help that I didn't think I would have to ask for at this point in my life either. But the realization that I would step forward and help any friend, any member of the River of Hope community who is in similar straits, and the fact that this River of Hope community, this family, has been astoundingly loving and gracious with help and kindness and compassion makes me realize that our congregation is a work of God, moving toward the way Christ moves in today's reading. We are trying and often succeeding to take the laws and rituals and make sure they still make sense in the way they work in today's world and in how they show us to love God with all our hearts and souls and minds and how to love our neighbors as ourselves. And I can tell you, my beloved family here at River of Hope, you have made me and my family feel so very cared for on so many levels. And you are all doing that out in the community and beyond the confines of just this church. And for this, I feel we all can say, thanks be to God.
Amen.
As we will sing now, I danced in the morning. You can write out your prayers on your purple sheet of paper. If you need more purple sheets, the people who are coming around to collect the purple sheets can also give you more.